We're going to start a new series, and we thought, you know, we need a little bit of rest after having a whole series on the demonic. So we decided, okay, we're going to change that a little bit, and we're going to have a series on parables, which I think will be kind of cool, because we'll be talking about some kind of parables that God uses throughout the Bible, and it's basically an earthly story with a spiritual truth, comparing, paralleling the two to show us how we understand how we're supposed to live spiritually on this in this natural world. Live in. So, as I was thinking about this, I begin realizing that. Let me turn this on first. We're all looking. I don't know if you noticed it, but we're all looking for these things. All of us are. We're designed that way. We're looking to impact. What we do is we want to impact through us somehow. We want to have an impact. But we want to accomplish. We want to have a sense we're significant. We're not just here buying our time till we die, or just kind of going through the motions. We want to have an impact. We want to accomplish, and we want to have significance. And so, if you've noticed, this is really a drive within people. And so, you can see this all around you of people wanting this, and you can see them going for it. This is, I know you can't read these, but you know, this is kind of shows you kind of. This is really a parallel to us. You know, you have an Empire State Building who starts in 1931, and they're amazed they finally get this thing up 1,250 feet. And every year, they just try to figure out how to stretch it a little bit further. Until just recently, we have, in Dubai, we have this 2,000-foot building with secretly plans of being able to expand further. So in case someone gets ahead of them, they can be a little more great or impact, move it up a little bit higher as well. And so we have people who are just driven to say, I need to make, you know, this is the architects are saying, we're going to get it higher than 2,000 feet. It's just kind of built into us, right? Because, and the people who have significance. They have a building that shows who they are. Now, you see other things as well. We have the Olympics coming up, you know. We look at Steve Jobs' life, who's had an amazing impact on, so I can have a countdown timer and things like that. It's still amazing to me that we're on Mars with this little rover going around. It's still fascinating to me that these people figured out a way of getting us to Mars and moving around and testing things out. We see people, you know, whether it be getting their PhD or whatever, you know, this whole thing of saying, I want to leave my impression. But see, some of us aren't this smart or this skilled, and so we have to come up with other things. And so, I don't know if you met this guy. It's called the Roller Man. This guy is pretty cool. He's created a suit that he can just literally fly down highways in an armored suit, and he goes all over the world and rolls. Or you might have this, you know, if you might just do art, and you can't really be a great artist, you just use post-it notes on cars, you know, and so you have a way to say, I'm making an impact somehow. And so, of course, then you have Joey Chestnut, who won 6 straight, 62 hot dogs eaten with buns in 10 minutes. Right? But then you have Sonia's just not quite, she's called the Black Widow, the Black Widow Thomas, who's eaten 40 in 10 minutes, but she's like twice the size, so it's pretty amazing feat. And what's funny is that, you know, you can Google them, you can put an image on them, and you'll see pictures you can't get past the pages. They've made an impact somehow. What I'm realizing is, I know you guys don't know this, but I'm getting old. I know it's shocking to you. Debbie, I know it's even more shocking, she's getting old. And we have this phrase that we say, more mature, and we have this phrase that we say, and this is the phrase is, we're getting old. We're just recognizing that. Now, some people, that's because our bodies ache a little bit more and that sort of thing, but most of it's because we're shocked that we're old. You know why? Because life's gone by so fast, we don't feel old. You know? And I'm telling you, for you people, I was just looking at a picture of Zach Hansen when he was this big on my TV the other day. It was on some video, and I thought, how did this happen? Zach is an adult now. This is not right. And you guys who are just thinking you're young, it ain't long. You're going to say, I'm old. And life flies by. And so the thing about that is, I mean, it really is. Think about that now. Don't think about it later, because that causes you to think, what do I want to do with my life? Because it goes by really quickly. If you're not proactive, you will not do what you desire to do. And so as I think about that, as I hear people say, you know, I just want to live a happy and productive life. And when they're saying that, sometimes it's like, I don't want to be depressed. I want to keep a job and pay my bills. And I think, ooh, I hope that's not all I come up with at the end of my life. that I just barely survived and got through. Or, and in fact, it's interesting, even in our culture, a lot of the standard now is not to make a big footprint, you know, environmentally. Great idea. But you understand what it's kind of saying, what you want to do is get through life without anybody knowing you're here. And there's another thing that goes into that. Now, obviously, I'm all about not making a big footprint and all that. But I want to make a big footprint. I mean, I think all of us need to make a big footprint. This world definitely needs us to do that. And the thing about it is we have to realize that we need lives that are significant. We want lives to count for something. You know, I want to do something in my life that matters. So when I'm done in my life, I think, wow, I've made an impact on my world in a way that really matters. I mean, what I want to do, which I think is your heart as well, is I want to make an impact on people's lives, lives that last for actually an eternity. Now, that's a pretty good impact. Now, the thing is you might say, well, is that possible? Is that just church talk or, you know, positive thinking or whatever? Is that possible? According to Scripture, it's actually the normal should be for believers, that we actually make that kind of impact, every one of us. Look at this verse in Ephesians. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I mean, that's pretty amazing. He's basically saying, because we have Christ within us, not because we're sharp, not because we have it all together, but because we have Christ within us, through us, he is able to do immeasurably more than we can possibly even imagine or think, according to his power. Now, so we need to make a big footprint spiritually. We need to affect the people around us. There's so much need, and God has given us a way of participating in what he's doing and actually affecting people's life for an eternity. And what we have to understand is, when we start getting on to that, even if it's hard, even if it requires a bit of effort, the fulfillment level. See, well, fulfillment comes when you accomplish something. And when you accomplish something that's temporal, it's even fulfilling. But when you're accomplishing something that's eternal, that's actually completely fulfilling. And it's worth anything. So today what I want to talk about is how our lives, I mean everyone who knows Jesus, how we can have a huge effect on the people that we're around. How do we do that? And so I want to tell you, if you have a Bible, you can turn over to Mark, and we're going to cover this parable. And we're going to talk about how we can do this by doing extremely small things. Because that's how Scripture teaches us how we make an impact, is by doing extremely small things. Now, and when we do small things, what happens is they become big things. And this is just the principle we're going to be talking about this morning. So we're going to turn over to Mark 4, 26 through 34. Jesus also said, again, this is a parable. He's saying, this is what it's like naturally. And you parallel out to saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This invisible realm, we talk about this, the kingdom of God, this is what this is like. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground day and night. While he's sleeping or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops of its own. First a leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of the wheat are formed. And finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. And Jesus says in verse 30, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make their nest in its shade. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables.
But afterwards, he was, along with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Now, I'm going to go one more verse here, which is, again, another teaching with Jesus talking about these parables. Jesus said, What is the kingdom of heaven like? The kingdom of God like, excuse me. How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden, and it grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in it, its branches. He also asked, What else is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Now, so we see Jesus comparing the kingdom of God, like it's like a farmer, and it's like this seed, a very small seed. It's like a mustard seed, and it's like this yeast. And so when Jesus taught this way, he was talking to this crowd, and what's really important to understand is that when Jesus was speaking, he was always thinking about people. Now, and so, you know, God is a God of relationship, and he absolutely loves humans. That is his pursuit. And he pursues us who are away from him. And that's what he does. That is God's heart. We see it all the way through Scripture. And so when he talks about what's the greatest 2 commands, it's what? Love God, love others. When you look all through Scripture, he came to serve us. God so loved us. Our 12 identities we talk about are all about relationship between us and God and the world. You know, it's the fruit of the Spirit is what? All these things are characterizing the way a relationship should be, the way love looks. You know, our mission statement is this fully devoted people who know the kingdom and they're devoted to Jesus and they bring the kingdom out to all people. So we're devoted to God and we're devoted to people. And so as we look at that, that's what God is after. And so I get thinking, what does God think about maybe the hot dog guy? Maybe he thinks of gluttony when he thinks of the hot dog guy. I don't know. But, you know, what do you think about a 2,000-foot building in architecture? I mean, you know, what does he think about Olympians, you know? You know, I don't know. I think God knows he's put stuff in us as humans. I think it's part of our creative side. I think, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. He knew how things went together. I think he appreciated. Don't forget, God actually designed the temple, you know, exactly the way he wanted it, you know. And so we understand that Jesus seemed to really like the best of things, like good food. He loved that. He loved good parties. He even provided the wine. I mean, so you have to understand that he's someone I think that sees the whole of man and appreciates all these things. But what we have to understand about God, and especially when he's teaching, you have to understand his heart, his number one thing is people. Always. You guys ever, how many do PowerPoint, some of you? Someone who wish you did PowerPoint. Maybe it's something like this. Maybe you have some program like this, but probably a bad illustration. But you have, you know, in PowerPoint, you have numbers of images, and they start stacking on top of each other. And so you're trying to figure out where your image is that should be in the front. You can't find it. You start digging around all your images because they're all packed on top of each other. And then you find your image, and you hit the right, if you're not an Apple person, you hit the right mouse, and it says, bring to front. You click it, comes to the front. That's the way Jesus is. All of it's important. But front and center is always people. And we have to realize that our relationship with God and our relationship with others is always going to be the front thing. And so Jesus, as he's speaking, he's always wanting us to get to this heart and have us understand relationship and how we do it on earth and how we affect the people around us. So when Jesus looks around, he sees people. Now, these parables talk about God and people. And what our part is in this whole thing. And so, look at this parable. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people so they could understand. And so, you have to understand, they didn't have iPads, they didn't have tablets. They had to have it stick with them. And so, when Jesus spoke, he always gave images and pictures that would help us understand. So they would walk around thinking, as they are sowing, they're thinking, this is kind of like the kingdom of God. And they begin understanding it. And it allowed God to speak to them and from their heart as he had parables he thought about. Now, a parable is something that it's this earthly story with a spiritual truth, but it also usually means if there's one primary point in a parable, it's usually not an allegory. It takes every little point. In some parables, Jesus has some allegory that he explains on that. But if you don't see that, typically that parable, there's one primary point that it's trying to get across. All right? And I would say the primary point that we're going to see overall in this parable is that big things, small things become very big. And the things that you would expect become very big. And then we're going to talk about that. Now, we have to understand that Jesus wants us to understand how to operate spiritually on this earth. And he's understanding that we're supposed to be operating, being led by God's Spirit, under the rule of the kingdom of God. And so you have to understand that's just different than our natural ways of thinking. So that's often, you look in Scripture and you think, this is upside down to how I would think. That's right. And that's why he keeps telling you it's upside down the way you think in many cases. So the kingdom of God is often different. It's like if you would go to another planet and it has a whole different system of gravity and that sort of thing. You know, do you guys know that we land on the moon? I think it's just this week they advertised. I think they landed on the moon. I forgot how many years ago. I added up. I think it was 1960. I don't know when it was 66 or something. When did we land on the moon?
69.
Thank you. 69. Thank you. So they were planning on landing on the moon, you know, and as they were preparing for that, one thing that they started on the land on the moon is they had the lunar lander, you know, that went down and landed on the moon. And so they were on Earth with all this, in this mock-up of this, and they're trying to get the weight, and it's too heavy. And they had these two pilots trying to guide it down and figure it all out ahead of time, and these two pilots were sitting in this chair, and they couldn't find enough room to put their space suits on, and it was too heavy, and they fought with this problem over and over. They took everything off the craft, and all of a sudden someone said, wait a second, we're on the moon, we don't even need seats. So they pulled the seats out, no pilot seats at all, because there's no gravity, right? So just a little bit. And so they realized the shock absorber in their leg was better than the shock absorbers in the seat. And so they just completely switched it. But they had to think differently, right? Same way with the kingdom of God. The same way we're going to talk about today. This parable is causing us to say, it's like this, but it's different than what you're going to expect as we go through it. Now, first off, when we talk about this parable, what we see is it says that, you know, it's like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. You know? So, as we read that, where are you in the parable? Okay? Are you the farmer? Yes. Are you the ground? Yes. Now, it's talking particularly about being the farmer, relating it to us, and the what comes out of us being God's purpose, Word of God, His love, His truth. But we have to also realize that we're ground. We're the person who's receiving those seeds into our life as well. Its focus here is primarily on the farmer, but it's really both. You know? Now, and we have to understand this. What it's showing us is that, you know, we are truly God's worker in His field. His field are people. We are actually His workers. And we have a significance that's kind of hard to believe. Because we participate with God in doing His work on earth. And it affects people's lives. There's a story about a farmer who, you know, the pastor came out, and old-time pastor, not like me, you know, and he came out, and he's looking around, and he's walking around, and he has this garden, you know, just gorgeous, you know, no weeds, everything's perfect, you know. And this guy, the farmer keeps referring to it as his garden, and the pastor kind of finally interrupts him because, you know, it is God's garden. The farmer says, yeah. I guess you're right. But it was just a patch of weeds before I got involved. And I think there's a truth to saying we have to understand that God has chosen by His grace, not that we deserve it, to be participating in this thing. And then we're actually farmers. We're actually people who are allowed to distribute living seeds in people's lives. And that's pretty amazing stuff. Now, when we think about that is, how does that work? How is it that we go through life and we deposit life-giving seeds? Well, a farmer, when he takes the seed and scatters it, that's the image we have. He's taking the seed and he's scattering, he's walking, just scattering it everywhere. And he's sowing it. He's doing that action with a confidence and hope that it's going to produce. He's certain of it. He knows that's what he does. That's where seed needs to go, is in the ground. And so he does it. It's wherever he goes, he sows seed. And so for us, this parallel, how do we do that in life with our friends and our family members and people we know and meet? It's that we deposit these things, the way that we act, our actions and our words, we do them in a way of faith, expecting a result as we do them. And we're doing it for the sake of spiritual crop taking place. So you guys have ever experienced that before? How's that look? I mean, see, in Scripture, it says we can do a lot of good things. And we even see sometimes at the time of judgment, they say, you did a lot of good things, but you didn't do anything. I mean, on the outside, you did a lot of good things. So what makes something profitable, actually, to take root? What allows us to be good? And it's faith. When we do something in faith, we're trusting in God. It's an act of faith. And in that, as we love people, we're saying, I want what I'm doing here to glorify God. I want them to come to know who God's love is through this action. And when you do that in faith, that's what it means to sow. Have you guys had that happen to you? People doing these small things in faith and how they affect you? That time when that person prays for you, and as they're praying for you, you all of a sudden understand what God feels about you, what you couldn't even grasp before, or there's a pinpoint spot where God speaks to you or he encourages you. You know what that feels like? That's sowing. But it can be other things. It can be this whole thing where someone just serves you. Someone who serves you for the sake of the kingdom, for the point they're not doing it for themselves to get pat on the back or to get out of trouble or to make up for what they didn't do before. They're doing it because they love you. Those kind of times when someone serves you like that, it's much more than them serving you. It's you feel God's love for you. You say, I like you for doing this, but that's not really who I'm most connected to by what you just did. That's sowing. Or someone says something to you, it's so encouraging, and you think, gosh, that's not flattery. That's really what God feels about me. And it just humbles you, and yet it feels so good to know this is what God feels about you. But that person just said some words. But they said some words in faith, and it was a seed that gave birth to something that literally can change that person's entire life. Or this kind of time where you have somebody who speaks the truth and loves you, even if it's hard, because they love you, they do it. And it opens you up to things you couldn't have been open to before, and you think, oh, that's hard, but I'm so glad this person loved me so much that they did that for me. You know? Or when someone just, you know, it's just around you and discussing. All of a sudden, because of being around them and them telling what God's been doing in their life and talking to you about it, you walk away from that whole conversation and you find yourself feeling the presence of God and your whole day changes. You guys ever have that happen? Yeah. That's someone sowing. I mean, just this last couple of weeks, I went to lunch with Doug and I don't know where Matt Ewells is, and we had breakfast and we just sat around and talked. And we started talking about all kinds of stuff, about the Bible, this and that, and our lives. And man, the entire day, I was just feeling God because of that conversation. Were you feeling that? I don't know if you were or not. But anyway, I was. And in that, I just thought, what was that? It's just guys talking. No, it was sowing. We're talking, and God was in this conversation. I was with Alicia this week. We were talking about just things going on. And it changed my day. I felt so encouraged after hearing the things God was doing in her life. And it was more than me being happy for her. It brought the presence of God to me. It can happen many ways and look different ways. You know? So, this is interesting too. You notice how it talks about scattering seed? It's kind of like, don't waste it. Come on. This is God's seed. But in Scripture, it always uses that word scattering. You know? Like, we'll try it. You know, and what you have to understand is this kind of seed you will never run out of. This is another principle of the kingdom. You think you might run out of it. It's so amazing. But the more you give it away, the more you scatter it, the more you receive back. You know, that's and you experience whatever you're giving out. In 2 Corinthians, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower, God supplies the seed to us for bread and for food, will also supply the increase, your storehouse of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. I mean, this is a pretty good deal. The faster you give it away, the more you get back. And so what that really means for us is this is something God wants to show us to do all the time, wherever we're at in any situation. How do we learn to just sow what God would want in a situation every time we're around somebody? Now, around you right now, you could look at that person next to you. You could say, your soil. You could say, your dirt. Man, there's that one. Or you could say, you're the ground. But honestly, those are all true. Everybody in here is if you know Jesus, you're one of the workers. But you're also the ground at the same time. And so what you have to look around is you look around, think about a farmer who's walking around and sees ground. And he has more seed than he knows what to do with. He knows he'll never run out. What's he going to do? He's going to sow it. Because he knows that's going to produce harvest. And so when we go around, we have to start just allowing God to show us all these people around us that, you know, when you go home, when you go into your neighborhood, when you go on a drive and you look at that person driving past you, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you go to your family, when you're hanging out with your kids, when you're with a friend or a spouse, you know, when you're being checked out of the grocery store and or waited on from a waitress, those are the people that have to come to the front. They're the most important thing. Your meal is not the important thing. I know you think it is. I know you need to decide. That's not the important thing. That person is the important thing. That is the ground. And God says, I want you to sow. In all the situations that you're in. So just, then the last thing it talks about this whole thing of a mustard seed. I mean, it's not only just saying a seed, it's emphasizing this particular parable of saying, by the way, this seed is extremely small. And this is going to surprise you. See, a mustard seed, I could say, here's a mustard seed, and you wouldn't know if I had one or not, because it's that small, right? It's so small. And it creates a garden plant. They straight up shoots about this high, you know. It's huge. And this one tiny seed. The yeast is the same way. It's a little bit of yeast in this, the half a bushel there. Just huge. And the idea is, you're going to be amazed. How did that happen? And look how big this thing is. Look how significant, what an impact this little tiny thing had. And he's saying, that's the way it is the kingdom of God. The smallest things, the things that are completely overlooked, not seen, that you do in faith will have huge impact on people's lives and it will change their life for an eternity. I mean, that's just clear all through Scripture. Now, you have to understand is it's hard is because it's like this. It's you take a mustard seed and dirt, and you throw it, and you think, where'd it go? You don't see the results, you know? You love people in faith, and you know, that's, but you have to know it will go somewhere. It'll change people's lives. And sometimes we get to see the results, sometimes we don't. You know, Jesus' ministry was just hanging out with people relationally. No PA system, no Facebook, you know, just interacting on this life, you know. Oftentimes he had some teachings that more people left than stayed, you know. You know, he got this big crowd and then it all took off. But he kept loving and he kept sowing. And that's why we're here this morning, and all around the whole world, there are people worshiping Jesus who know him personally because Jesus understood that the kingdom of God is like that. It's small, repeated things over and over, and they plant into people's lives and it transforms them into things you can't even believe can take place. Small seeds have this huge impact. There's these moments of truth, these actions, these choices that we make that seem so small. We just sometimes neglect them. We don't even do them. Because saying, if you could see what's happening, you would be sowing in every one of these situations. And when you'd be doing that, you'd be reaping back things that you need for your own life. Now, we need to recognize that it's this small thing that takes place. And it feels that way. And that's what it's getting across. It's this action that's so easy to miss. It's like mustard seed. It's like a little bit of yeast and this big thing. It really just disappears. But it has this effect. So, you know, as a church, you know, what I want to do is I want us to impact people in a huge way, our community. You know, I want us to be people who do everything in faith. And we understand that God is in us, and wherever we go, every person, every situation, every life, there is ground that God is wanting us to sow in. Now, small actions of love and faith change people and change us in ways that we can't even imagine. So let's get a little more practical as I close. The people are the ground. They have to be brought to the front if we have a biblical understanding of what Jesus, what we're here for on this earth. And we will not run out of seed. And what's cool is you don't have to be sharp, educated. You don't have to have a certain personality. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You just have to understand this. God works through everyone who knows Him dramatically. And you can change the world. You can have significance without building a 2,000-foot building or eating 62 hot dogs. You can have significance, and significance that lasts for an eternity. And so as you think about that, in your mind, think about the people around you, okay? Think about, you know, when you're with people. You know, some of bringing in the kingdom of God is just smiling and being present with someone. You understand that? Have you ever had that when someone sees you and they're truly present? It affects you because you can tell they love you. And if something happens in that, just acts of kindness, you know, encouraging someone, serving someone, having that spot where someone hurts you and you make that small choice to not be offended and to continue to love and forgive that person. It feels very small at the time. It's huge. That spot where you say those seven amazing words, "Can I pray for you right now?" And you actually do it. It's amazing what will happen through that process. Speaking the truth to someone, even when it's hard. Apologizing. These are all, you can just think, these are areas that when we do them in faith, it does huge things in people's lives. So, you know, when I think about our church, I dream about our mission statement, how it could keep looking even more the way we are as a church. Then in everyday life, that we become people who get this. To realize that we're here to sow. Generously. And wherever there's a person, there's a field. And we're going to pour our heart into loving people in faith, being led by God's Holy Spirit, asking Him to use what we're doing for His glory and for His purpose. And we're going to make a huge impact. I never want to be a church that we have a few people doing a lot of amazing things. I want to be a church that everyone is doing amazing things in their everyday life. That's what the secret of the kingdom is. It's not up here. It's not bigger buildings. It's not more production. It's every believer understanding this and living it out in their everyday life. And it will change the world. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in the field. And though it was as small as the seed, yet when it grows, is as large as the garden plants. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked and penetrated the whole loaf. You know, so it's accessible to every one of us. Why don't you stand? And would the worship team come on up?